Daytime Conversations is what we are having right now on the show. And back with me in studio is Phuloso. Good afternoon and welcome back.
Ah, thank you so much, Zintle. Good to be here.
It's good to be with you. Phuloso is my guest, and we've been talking about the subject of rebuilding, which I think is something familiar to a lot of us in our lives. And somebody in the Bible who's had to rebuild at some point is Nehemiah, and that's the man that we've been drawing all our lessons from. So last week, by the way, Phuloso is your Bible lecturer? What do we call it? What's your proper, right?
Lecturer, yeah.
You're a lecturer at a Bible college.
At the Bible college, yes.
And you teach Hebrew and...
I teach, Biblical Hebrew and Greek, the original languages with which the scriptures were given to us.
So I feel like you've got way greater understanding and revelation than I do. And that's why we've got you here to have these conversations. So last week you left us with such great lessons from Nehemiah. I just want us to take a little bit of time to recap for the sake of those who might have missed the important lessons when he received the news about the walls having been broken down, which I think in our lives, it could have been the news about anything in our lives broken down. What was his response? What are the R's that you gave us?
Yes, the R's were, one, he received this news and it was heartbreaking, but he knew where to take his heart. And then the second R was how he responded to that. And he responded in a form of prayer. And in his prayer, he's got this. One, he recognizes that he serves a great God and he acknowledges that. Secondly, he repents. He says, Lord, forgive me and my family and my household. Thirdly, he remembers God's promise. Then fourthly, he'll make a request before God to say, Lord, give me favor. Those were the four R's we looked at last week out of chapter 1.
Yeah.
In his prayer, yes.
And what are we looking at today?
Now, today, we get into chapter 2 and we build up from where we left out of chapter 1. And in chapter 1, if you remember from last week, chapter 1, verse 1, we read this, in the month of Kislev, in the 20th year of the king. But then if you turn quickly to chapter 2, in verse 1, it says this, in the month of Nisan, in the 20th year of the king. So it's still the same year, but it's a different month. Yeah. And according to the Hebrew calendar, between the month of Kislev and Nisan is an equal of 4 months. So 4 months have been since Nehemiah first prayed in chapter 1. If you read, you may miss that. But actually, it's been a space of 4 months and there's no confirmation from the Lord. There's no angel coming to say your prayer has been heard or anything like that. So it's been 4 months of waiting and praying and trusting God. And it's not out of the Lord's will. I mean, we saw last week he's fasting, he's praying, he's seeking the Lord. But 4 months have gone and nothing has happened.
Such an interesting thing to highlight, Phuloso, because that's sometimes where we lose our faith. That's sometimes where we get so discouraged. That waiting period before we can actually get God's go ahead or, you know, sign to say this is how you're going to rebuild or go ahead and start rebuilding. That moment of uncertainty, right? Those months where it's just like, God, can you hear my prayer? Can't you hear? And I like what you said, he's done everything according to the will of God. If it was you and I, we'd probably lose heart in those 4 months and be discouraged. But how does he continue then? How does he continue?
Yeah, it's interesting what Nehemiah does. He's still faithful. And what we will see is, as you're saying, he's in a waiting period. And today we look at what do you do while you're waiting. And we will see in the text that he's actually working while he's waiting. This is what I call active waiting. He's waiting on the Lord. He hasn't seen the answer, but he's working. It will become evident. Then in verse 2 of chapter 2, he says, one day he's working, he's bringing food to the king. The king realizes, wait a minute, something is wrong. The king says, why does your face look so sad when you are not ill? This can be nothing but sadness of heart. So for 4 months, somehow he's been able to hold it together. Suddenly the king is now recognizing that something is burning in this man's heart. Yeah. Then he responds, well, why should my face not be sad when the city where my fathers are buried lies in ruins? What? There's something broken down that is bothering my heart, okay? And he says, its gates have been destroyed with fire. Then the king said to me, what is it that you want? Mm-hmm. Then he says, then I prayed to the God of heaven. And now here, you can imagine them having a conversation. At what time did he pray? And it seemed that he did one of those arrow prayers, a quick prayer to the Lord. And now that's a lesson right there. because those spontaneous moments of prayer only flow when we have a disciplined life of prayer.
Mm.
You cannot get into spontaneity on anything if you're not disciplined.
Mm.
So again, this shows how disciplined he was in prayer. He can quickly pray to God before he goes to the king. And it's a pattern we saw again in chapter 1. He goes to God first, and he's doing it again. And then he says, I answered the king in verse 5. And then he says, if it pleases the king and I've found favor in his eyes, let him send me to the city of Judah where my fathers are buried so that I can go and build it. And then the king will say, well, how long will your journey take and when will you get back? And the king sent him. Now, his answer shows us what I was saying earlier, that he's working while he's waiting. This is how we see it. He says, may I have letters for the governors of the Trans-Euphrates? That is, he's going to cross the borders. He said, king, please give me these letters so that they will provide me with safe conduct until I arrive where I'm going. So when he's been doing research, he knows that he will need letters.
So he hasn't been passive. Like, he hasn't just...
Exactly.
In as much as he's been hurt about the news that he's heard, and God hasn't given the go-ahead or direction to say, start rebuilding or go in this direction, he didn't just sit and fold his hands.
No, he didn't.
In the midst of the pain, he was doing research, like you're saying. He was weighing out, what options do I have?
Exactly. And this 4 months' time of waiting has really prepared him. So, because in that time of waiting, he's not been passive, he's actively waiting. He's preparing himself to receive the answer from God.
Ooh, can we hold it there?
Yes.
We're going to continue just after this. So we're back in studio with Puluso for our daytime conversations. And we've been talking on a series of rebuilding, which is something that I think is familiar to a lot of us at one point in our lives. And maybe you are going through a season right now where you've heard news of something that has broken down in your life, and you're going to have to start a process of rebuilding. So today we're talking about Nehemiah and how he waited, while he was waiting for the go-ahead from God to start rebuilding the walls. So before we took a break, Puluso, you mentioned something so profound. One, to say that even though he was hurting, he was praying, he was waiting on God for an answer about how to start rebuilding, he was working while he's waiting. He started doing the research. He prayed first, obviously, but
yes,
he started, what you said before we took a break, he started to prepare himself for the answer from God.
Yes, exactly. And he actively did that. And I think it challenges us to say, how do we wait? I've heard most people, Christians, saying, well, I'm waiting on the Lord. Well, what are you doing as you're waiting?
Mm.
Well, I'm trusting God for a car. What are you doing? I'm just waiting on the Lord.
Like, no that learner's license, nothing.
Yes, it would be good for you as you are waiting on the Lord for that car. It would be good for you to walk into Checkers, buy a K53 or something.
Yeah,
study that thing, get your thing, prepare for that's what he's been doing.
So it tells me also that then he had faith.
Exactly.
In his God.
It shows faith, exactly. Because look at when the king asks him questions, how long will your journey take? And when will you get back? And he gives information. Well, I set a time. And then, but if you think about it, if he was not able to answer the king in the way that he does, I wonder if the king would have even let him go.
Mm-hmm.
Because the king would have thought, well, you don't know what you want, And in verse 4, he'd already asked him, what is it you want? The king asked him, and then he was able to answer. But look in verse 7. He goes on and says, if it pleases the king, may I have letters to the governors of the Trans-Euphrates so they may give him safe conduct. And then look at verse 8. He says, may I have a letter to Asaph, keeper of the king's forest, so he will give me timber to make beams for the gate and the citadel by the temple and for the city wall. And for the place that I will occupy. So while he was waiting, he's been doing research, finding out, when the Lord answers, what will I need? Well, I'll need to cross the border, so I'll need the king to give me letters to do that. I will need wood, and the best one in the land, by the way. He asked for the royal parks.
Yeah.
And he's even done his homework. He knows who the Minister of Agriculture is. Most people don't know that.
Mm-hmm.
If you ask people at random, who's the Minister of Agriculture? Most people just frown. But Nehemiah knows who the Minister of Agriculture is. He calls him by name. His name is Asaph. And that's how I get word from Asaph.
Mm.
I come with letters from the king. I don't just show up and introduce myself. I'm Nehemiah, like some timber. So he's been preparing.
Sure.
To receive that. And here we see it. He gives impressive answers to the king. And the king would actually let him go. And if you see in the rest of verse 8, it says, because the gracious hand of God was upon me, the king granted my request.
Hmm.
So, again, showing that while he was waiting 4 months of nothing, he wasn't sitting twiddling his thumbs. He was doing something. He was preparing his heart, preparing himself for when the time is right.
Sure. That is so powerful. And I think it's just such a great lesson for us to say, I mean, for me, when I look at that, I'm seeing a man who had so much confidence and faith in God, and he knew that rebuilding was going to be possible.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? And that's why then he took the initiative, like you're saying, to do the research and all of that, because his heart was at, I've asked my father, he's a great God, and he will give me the capacity to be able to rebuild the walls of Jericho. So he also, on top of faith, really had hope. And it shows. So that's a powerful lesson. How do we wait while we're waiting?
So working while we are waiting.
Work while you wait.
And it's a sign of faith. It isn't like most Christians will divorce praying with planning. And actually, they go well together. They need to be married, not divorced. Mm. They go well together. It's not a lack of faith to plan while you're praying.
Sure.
Nehemiah is a good example of that. And the Lord will give you much more than what he asked for. Look at verse 9 as we wrap this one. It says, the king had also sent army officers and cavalry with me. So he got more than what he asked for. He just asked for letters. But because God is faithful, he got much more. He got the whole army. That was like the most powerful army at the time. It's like the SANDF accompanying you to Lesotho, for example.
Yeah.
That's what he got. Over and above what he could ask or imagine.
Yeah.
Because we serve a faithful God. But he did do his part as well.
He was faithful. He had faith.
Yes.
He was prepared.
He was.
He had hope. He had confidence in God.
Exactly.
He did not stop praying.
He didn't.
What a man. What a story. And it's so funny how often we read through the story. I've read the story of Nehemiah before, but now I'm getting such brand new revelations from it as we're having this conversation. Puluso, it's always a pleasure. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.